Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Our text this morning from the Epistle, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I don't think you would ever call St. Paul someone who is at a loss for words. Along with his missionary journeys, preaching, church planting, he authored 13 books of the New Testament. He also authored some of the longest sentences ever seen in human history, with the most complex structure and grammar. He had plenty to say. And then we come across a reading like this one, and might be surprised to hear, "I've decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Nothing but Christ might surprise us a bit at first for Paul, but less so when we think about it. But compare it to the ways of our world and what a radically different approach this is. For we live in a world of inward focus, self-promotion and self-absorption. Look at me. Follow me. See what I'm doing. Notice my accomplishments, my credentials, my influence. Today, people commonly measure themselves in the number of followers they have, the connections they have, the visibility they achieve, the clicks that come after them, Facebook and LinkedIn, and they obsess over these statistics, making them the center of self-worth. And if we're not one of them, we shake our heads and say, "What a waste of time." But if we look closer, maybe we're more old school about it. For people have always done this in different ways. We do the same with our accomplishments. Titles and degrees and awards and recognition and achievements, says the Reverend Dr. Vice President, Chief Mission Officer, and your humble servant. Welcome to my day-to-day life. It's one of those worlds, isn't it? Now, there's nothing inherently wrong with accomplishments. In fact, without them, I don't think we would lead very productive lives. They can be real. They can matter. They can reflect effort and ability. And with a healthy perspective, they can motivate, encourage, equip, and do all kinds of good things. But they're not your identity. They're not you. These things do not save. They do not give life. They cannot reconcile to God. They could never overcome death, and much more. Only Christ can. Nothing but Christ. And this is where Paul is leading us to contemplate today. But if you think about it, what would this have been like if Paul had followed the normal ways of the world? He could have bragged. He was educated under one of the greatest scholars of his day, Gamaliel, knowing scripture and theology and history and rhetoric and philosophy. Impressive credentials. He could have developed a following based on his brilliance, a rabbinic school, if you will. But Paul, who once was like that, met the resurrected Jesus, and an entirely new life followed. In recognition of that, where he stands before God and why, he writes, "I did not come to you proclaiming the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom," because he knew better. He knew he had better credentials because he knew Christ. He knew that human wisdom cannot save sinners, that eloquence can't raise the dead, that intellect can't defeat sin, that strong will can't overcome all, that only Christ crucified saves. And so he decided and resolved to know nothing but Christ. Now, that doesn't mean he embraced foolishness or stupidity. Far from it. But casting aside knowledge and wisdom of the world, putting everything in the context of Christ and his work, he proclaimed the message that nothing matters without Christ crucified. A little farther in this reading, Paul quotes Isaiah 64 to say, "No eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. The gifts of our gracious God, they are far beyond anything humans might imagine or reason or expect. But notice how often God gives these gifts in utterly unexpected ways, so unexpected that the world holds them in contempt, considers them foolishness. The world expects power. God comes in weakness. The world seeks glory, but God gives a cross. The world values victory, and God comes in suffering, because in that suffering is true victory. For God is most clearly seen not in human achievements, but in a cross. And this, among other things, is one of the reasons Luther said so famously in his Heidelberg Disputation, "The cross of Christ is our theology. Not success or influence or strength, the cross." Because right there, we see who God really is. A God who humbles himself. A God who chooses to suffer. A God who voluntarily dies. A God who loves sinners. We see nothing but Christ. And from the beginning, that has always been God's plan. It wasn't something as an afterthought or something that Paul thought in reflection afterwards. Think back to the Old Testament. Those Old Testament sacrifices, nothing but Christ. Every lamb that was slain pointed to him. Every drop of blood showed him. Every altar testified of him. Because those sacrifices by themselves could never truly take away sin. They were anticipations, pointing to him, fulfilled in him, a promise that God kept when Christ shed his own holy, innocent blood, and the final sacrifice was made once for all. Through all time, nothing but Christ. And so also here. This table, nothing but Christ. His body given for you. His blood shed for you. No mere symbol. No testimony of your faith by itself, but his gift, truly present. His forgiveness. Nothing but Christ. The sermons you should expect to hear here, nothing but Christ. Not Pastor Mueller, not Pastor Espinoza, not personality, not presentation. Christ, and nothing but Christ. Because nothing else saves, nothing else forgives, nothing else gives life. Nothing but our Lord, Jesus. And what kind of Christ do we see? Not someone who self-promotes or self-glorifies, but humility. As Paul writes in Philippians 2, he humbled himself by being obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. He didn't lay down his life because he lacked power. It wasn't taken from him. He wasn't out of control. No one could take his life, but he had authority to lay it down and authority to take it up, as he tells us. It was willing, self-chosen agony because of you. He had every credential. He's the eternal Son of God. He created all things. He rules over all things. And yet he humbled himself. Born in obscurity, lived in humility, died in weakness for you, to forgive you, to redeem you, to make you his own, to have you be with him forever in glory and joy. Nothing but Christ. Paul says, God has revealed these things to us through his Spirit. because it's not a wisdom that would ever have been expected. Not something the world would discover. This is wisdom that must be revealed. And God sends a Spirit upon us to open our eyes so that we see Christ, to recognize him as our Savior, our Redeemer, our life, to hear his word and receive his gifts. And that changes everything for us. Because now our identity is not in accomplishments or credentials or achievements or in the recognition of others or in anything else that the world values so highly. But our identity is clearly and solidly in him. You are Christ's, marked with his seal on your forehead and your heart, written in the book of life, loved by the Father. You're his, all because of Christ. It's interesting, in a book like 1 Corinthians that addresses so many different problems, a book that we would likely at first glance think it's about a whole lot of different things and controversies. Part of the reason I like calling it as a subtitle, The Epistle to the Americans, because it's very much issues that we still wrestle with all these years later. With all those things, Paul brings it back to the heart. He anchors it there, and the whole letter fills it out that way. That every one of these issues that he addresses is all about Christ, about keeping him central, both in the church and in the lives of his people, and about living the life that he gives to us. So what does that mean for the child of God today? Well, like Paul, we have a life in Christ that has been completely changed, a life redeemed to not be one of self-promotion or self-glory, but a life lived in him. It means in a dark world, we become light. In a world that's falling apart, we become the salt that preserves and gives flavor. It means we testify and bear witness to him in word and action, not by boasting in ourselves, but simply by reflecting him, by caring for the poor and the needy and the destitute, as Isaiah reminded us. By not drawing attention to ourselves, but always returning the glory to him. By not boasting in wisdom, but simply by confessing the truth. Confessing Christ. Because the wisdom of God is this: a crucified Savior, a risen Savior, a Savior who saves sinners. Nothing but Christ. So friends, when the world tells you to accumulate those accomplishments and boast before all, when it tells us to look to ourselves, God turns us again today to fix our eyes on Jesus, to Christ crucified, given for you, present for you. And because of Christ, you have everything. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.